Welcome to Pap Talk, a podcast from Contemporary OBGYN, where we deliver expert insight, commentary, and more on emerging topics and trends to doctors in women's health.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. My name is Morgan Petronelli with Contemporary OBGYN.
My name is Manish Jain. I'm the co-founder CEO of Mirby. And we're really excited about where we're headed with trying to make a difference in pregnancy health.
So my first question I have is, for those who don't know what Mirby, the RNA platform is, could you explain what it is?
Yeah, definitely. So I think I'll start with the highest level, where the Mirby RNA platform is really the first to be able to predict these unexpected complications. And we're doing that by looking at the underlying biology of pregnancy. And so each pregnancy is different. And by tapping into that underlying biology, that's really what makes the platform unique. So maybe just a little bit about RNA in the context of pregnancy, right? So obviously during pregnancy is a period of very rapid change and growth for the mom and the baby. And those changes are driven by RNA messages at the biological level. And so what we're doing is we're simply tapping in to those RNA messages through a simple blood sample from the mom. And what we're looking at is those tens of thousands of RNA messages that originate from the mom, the baby, and the placenta. So we get this kind of comprehensive, holistic view of what's happening with those RNA messages. And using that fundamental understanding, we can predict both healthy pregnancies and, by extension, pregnancies which are headed for a complication.
So what caused you to create a test like this?
I think at the outset, it was really the staggering unmet need. So I think we saw that there were one in five pregnancies that suffered from unexpected complications, because I think the journey of creating life is not always predictable, can be unexpected. And I think that number in itself is hard to believe, right? It's approaching 1 million women in the US and it's tens of millions globally. So we saw that while there were other tests, I think you talked about prenatal tests, those are very different than what we're doing. While there were some of those on the market, there really wasn't anything that could predict underlying unexpected complications. And we saw that these were affecting one in five pregnancies, which is such a staggering number. So that really led us to say, okay, we have the toolkit now, the technological toolkit, to try to make a difference. And so we should.
How predictive do you think these tests are?
Yeah. So what we've shown, I would say at the outset that the platform is still evolving and improving, and we are continuing our clinical studies. But what we have shown in the Nature study is that we can detect 75% of women who are going to develop a complication 3 months later on average. So that's really one of the big metrics. Is today, really, it's only about 20% of women who experience a complication could be predicted in advance using assessments like pregnancy history or race, ethnicity, BMI, some of these kind of more traditional clinical measures that have been used. So it really leaves 80% of women who develop a complication undetected. And so what we're doing is changing that by we can predict 75% of those is what we have shown in the study. And so it really moves the needle significantly from just being able to predict 20% to now being able to predict 75% plus.
And you briefly mentioned the Nature study. Could you just tell me a little bit about the study and its findings?
Yeah, definitely. So at the top level, the study was really the largest study of maternal transcriptomes to date. And we also made sure we got close to 2,000 women from US, Europe, and Africa. So it's a very diverse study, so we could really see what's happening in pregnancy across the board. And so what we showed is that we were able to predict these unexpected complications months in advance by looking at the underlying biology, and that we could not only map the patterns of RNA messages, which are for healthy pregnancies, but by knowing those baseline patterns, which turn out to be very similar across all the pregnancies, that we can identify which are the patterns which predict complications. And so that's how we're able to predict the 75% of preeclampsia cases in advance. And so ultimately what the study showed is that this creates a new window for pregnancy health. So what we mean by new window is today, the onset of the disease is happening often in the first trimester. But when you diagnose it clinically, it is often very late in the pregnancy, late in the third trimester. And so that kind of leaves you very little time to act and to do anything. So women and the OBs are left in crisis mode And so by being able to predict this in the second trimester, we're opening this window of a few months where you can act and intervene to hopefully try to prevent the condition or at least reduce the impact.
You know, why should OBGYNs recommend a kind of test like MIR-V?
It's a great question. I think OBGYN should recommend tests which have a lot of clinical evidence behind them. And so what we've done with this Nature study is take that first big step in a very large, diverse study to show that we have the clinical evidence. And we're actually going to continue that. So we have ongoing clinical studies which will be peer-reviewed and published. And so I think once that underlying work is done on a large, diverse population, I think that gives all of us, including OBGYNs, confidence in the value of such a test. So we are definitely working hard to do those studies now. And I think once those studies are done and successful, then I think we'd be excited for OBs to recommend this test.
That's great. And one last question for you. Where
Yeah.
do you see the future of MIR-V heading?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think one of the things that we realized early in the outset is that there was just a very big unmet need in this area, and also that pregnancy health had been left behind, right, for lack of a better word. So we've seen in past companies or past technologies advances in, for instance, early cancer detection. And now we are very sophisticated in terms of being able to identify these tumors really early. And then being able to do precision medicine, so give each patient the treatment that they deserve and need versus one size fits all. But when you come and look at women's health and pregnancy health, it's been under-researched and under-invested for quite a long time. And so that's left a big unmet need where we treat everything as one size fits all. We are pretty much in the dark. We really can't predict much of what's happening. And so what we realized is some of those tools that were developed in other areas like cancer research could be applied here and make a difference. So I think one of the things we hope for 2022 and beyond is that we can kind of leapfrog where the field has been. And it's, in my opinion, and a lot of our medical advisors feel the same, maybe decades behind in some ways compared to other areas. So hopefully we can leapfrog that time period and bring the best tools to bear and get it to the place where it can be much more predictive and proactive and personalized in terms of where we're headed. And so that would be a big difference from my understanding from just talking to prospective moms, and we've done a lot of research. I think everybody wants to know that information. And so I think we're in this place now where the technology is there and we're dedicated to try to make a difference.
Awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to include?
I think just maybe some of the things that you talked about in terms of the tests, they're very different than some of the prenatal tests that are there today. And one of the differences from genetic tests is genetic tests are kind of static. So you kind of have what you have from mom and dad at the beginning of the pregnancy, and it stays the same throughout the pregnancy, right? It doesn't change. And the other thing with genetic tests is that even though they address an important need, it really affects about 1 in 500 pregnancies. And so the tests on the market today are addressing what is a relatively rare condition. And what we're addressing is 1 in 5, right? So imagine that 100 times more prevalent, and the impact is greater accordingly. And so these conditions, like the pregnancy complications, they develop throughout pregnancy. So as things are changing week by week by week, it evolves. And so the RNA platform is a really powerful way to tap into that and see how it's evolving. And so I think hopefully by making a difference here, we'll address a so much larger unmet need. And so I think that's one of the key pieces. But just going back to our key points, I think the first is the ability to predict these complications based on the underlying biology. And then I think the second is being able to see all of these RNA messages comprehensively. It's not been possible before, and have a holistic view because of that, and ultimately bring all that back to then creating this new window, which can allow you to be proactive, preventative, which really hasn't been possible.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. My name is Morgan Petronelli with Contemporary OBGYN. And today I have joining me Dr. McCall Elevitz from MIR-V. And we're going to be talking about some recently presented data from SMFM 2022. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So my first question I have is, so Contemporary OBGYN recently highlighted some of MIR-V's previous research that was published in Nature about preeclampsia and predicting it.
with their tests. Can you tell me about the latest research regarding MIR-V being presented here at SMFM, and what were the findings?
So as you probably know, and as your readers definitely know, is preeclampsia and preterm birth remain this humongous burden for individuals and their families. You know, one out of 12 women will suffer from preeclampsia, and one out of 10 will suffer from preterm birth. But I think what gets lost in the narrative a lot of the time is that these are not just problems in pregnancy, right? When you have preeclampsia, that affects a woman's cardiovascular risk for her lifetime. History of preeclampsia is the same as risk as being an active smoker. And for the preterm children, they have a lifespan of risk for multiple medical problems and neurobehavioral outcomes. So, you know, I've been a physician scientist at the University of Pennsylvania for 20 years working in this field. And so it's been a pleasure to be able to combine that interest and that science with what's happening now with this RNA platform. So in the Nature paper, the MIR-V RNA platform showed that it could reveal the biological signatures or the cell-free RNA signatures that were happening at the placenta, the fetus, and the mom. And so you can pick those up in maternal circulation. And by being able to now see what happens across pregnancy, you can then also ask, how does that those pathways get perturbed to lead to preeclampsia, which is what we published in the Nature paper. And so it made logical sense if we could understand the biology of normal pregnancy progression, could we then ask what would be perturbed that would lead to preterm birth? And that's what the abstract at SMFM is all about.
And so what were some findings regarding preterm birth and the MIR-V RNA platform?
So similar to what we were able to see with preeclampsia, we see a very unique RNA profile or cell-free RNA transcripts that are associated with the development of preterm birth, and we're talking spontaneous preterm birth months ahead of time. What is really, as a scientist, so fascinating about this is the biology that's revealed are really on pathways that are involved in what's called the extracellular matrix, or the ECM. Well, the extracellular matrix is kind of critical to the cervix remodeling, and we know that short cervix has long been associated with preterm birth, but we've also not been able to identify how outside of an ultrasound measurement that cervix actually remodels. So if this biological signature for preterm birth is indicative of what's happening at the cervix, we now have this new tool that may be able to identify women at risk from a premature cervical remodeling that are gonna develop preterm birth.
And my next question, you know, what do these findings ultimately mean?
So hopefully they mean a lot. I mean, there's really been this unmet burden for women. It's, you know, I ran our prematurity prevention program for almost 15 years. And from the start to the end, while I had a little bit more in my toolbox, I mostly had to say to them, I don't know how to tell you you're at risk. And I don't know enough about the biology to come up with better therapeutics. So if we're actually able to say, I not only can identify who's at risk, I can identify the biology that makes you at risk, it just opens up this whole new world for pregnancy health and for moms.
That's wonderful. And my third question I have for you is, you know, what sparked the idea to conduct this study?
So I think a lot of people have had the spark. You know, I had, am grateful to funding from both NIH and March of Dimes. Over the course of my career. And back in the mid-2000s, maybe 2005, the March of Dimes actually funded me to do work called the biomarker study, right? The goal was to identify what in maternal blood would put them at risk and what neonates would be at risk for long-term complications. And I'm far from alone in doing this, right? All across the world, I think people have been looking at biomarkers to say, can we actually identify at risk? So what is so great and novel about this, it uses new innovation to say, okay, I'm not just gonna look at a protein. I'm going to look at all the messaging that's happening across the mom, the baby, the placenta in this cell-free RNA platform. And by doing that, we've really elevated it from being a biomarker that is just an epiphenomenon to the biology of the biological process.
And one last question I have for you is, you know, how does this profiling change the industry? Where do you see it headed?
So I'm the physician scientist. And so where I like to see it headed is that this transform, that it's paradigm shifting for how we identify women at risk and then how we treat them to prevent it. Not how we deal after, how we stop it from happening. So I would love to see more industry and more innovation coming into maternal child health and us creating partnerships and breaking down some of these traditional silos and think, how do we actually make a difference for moms?
Thanks for listening to this episode of PAP Talk. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.